in unity, one with the other, because you will respect each other's gifting. You will respect it. People will say, that's how God built her. That's how he made him, you know, and we need to listen and see. And then you'll take the apostle that walks in all of the giftings, okay? You'll take the apostle who should be able to sit and say, okay, children, listen, you need to see this point and see that point and see how it ties together, okay? See how it ties together to make God's will and his purpose come to pass. Amen. 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 All right. First question. And so you know this is a conversation now. So that means y'all are going to be talking back to me, right? Okay. All right. So the first question, who here has heard of the fivefold ministry? Okay. Okay. We've got a few. Can somebody name I see the heads shaking no already. Okay. Can somebody name the fivefold? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. 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 That's right. The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. That is the fivefold ministry. And you will find that in Ephesians 4, verses 6 through 11. Ephesians 4, verses 6 through 11. Now, when I learned about the fivefold ministry, in which I thought it was really neat, the fivefold ministry is the hand of God working in the ministry. And you should have all of the parts that she just mentioned, you should have them in the ministry for the ministry to flow successfully. But when they showed me the hand of God, the teacher wrote in here, the hand of God, that was her palm. And then she showed us which finger each one of those people have. Because this will give me more information here. Okay, the thumb is the apostle. The apostles are usually visionaries, dreamers, trendsetters, trailblazers, pioneers, awakeners in the kingdom of God. They awaken to God's design potential. They are instrumental people discovering who they really are and walking along, helping people discover who they are and walking along them together to get there. They forge new paths in the kingdom and are a catalyst for change wherever they go. Now, y'all know I walk in the office of the apostle. Now, as I read that, did you see any of those characteristics in me? Okay, you saw those characteristics. Okay, the next one is the prophet. The next one is the prophet next to the apostle. The prophet and the apostle should walk very closely together. They should walk close together, just as they are on your hand. They should be close together, okay? The prophet. The prophets are usually forecasters, commentators, messengers, heart revealers in the kingdom of God. They are effective in revealing God's heart for his people wherever they go. They can actually discern God's heart. I don't know if you remember, but when we were in the basement in earlier on in our ministry, someone asked me, what part of the body do you see your ministry as? What part of, were we the head of God? Were we the feet of God? Were we the hand of God? Without even thinking about it, I said, we're the heart of God. And little did I know, again, somebody questioning me, little did I know that we represent the heart of God. What's one of the main things that come out of the heart of God? Love, love. And this ministry is a ministry that is full of love. There hasn't been one person that has walked through these doors who did not experience the love of God. And if they, well, not these doors, but the doors of the ministry, amen. And if they left here and never came back, if you ever ask them, have you ever been to New Vision? They'll be able to tell you, yes, I've been to New Vision. They can tell you about the love. Some people literally ran from us because of the love, because they have never experienced that kind of love, and it scared them. It frightened them and made them feel uncomfortable. But we represent the heart of God. Here, our son Elijah, you know, his family moved and he hasn't been here for a while. But when he came through those doors, people couldn't wait to get hugs from him and welcome him and love on him and so forth. The love of God. It doesn't matter where you went. It doesn't matter what you did. If God loves you, and if we are God-fearing, loving people, then by George, when you come in here, you should feel the love of God. Somebody ought to greet you with a great big smile. Somebody ought to tell you you are welcome. Somebody ought to do that. Amen. Man, woman, or child. And so I was happy to hear our happy song this morning. It took me back to our old place where we were. You know, I'm happy. I'm happy to be with you. I'm happy to be here. But let me move on with this. So the prophet is the voice. Let's see. A people experiencing the voice of God for the very first time and helps them develop hearing the voice of God in their own life. Now, understand this, that as a prophet, your main job as a prophet is you spend so much time with God in intercession. You spend so much time with him that you hear his voice. He speaks to the prophet. Then the prophet comes from God and goes where? Where would a prophet come? If he's hearing from God and he's supposed to give the word, where is he taking it? To the people. He's taking it to the people. That's the whole idea of prophecy. That's the whole idea of the prophet. He hears from God. Now, mind you, every single one of you sitting in this room can prophesy. Every single one of you can prophesy. But every single one of you have not been called to the office of a prophet. All right? You can prophesy. In fact, our little Elijah was our first child prophet. He was 4 years old prophesying. He was 4 years old and prophesying. And guests that would come to our church, they were amazed and surprised that I would allow a child to have the mic and say something. Suffer not the children to come to God. And he came and God anointed him to prophesy. And he did. He did. He heard from God. So he has the anointing on him to walk also in the office of the prophet. Now, I believe he has that anointing on his life to walk in the office of the prophet. However, let's take this baby over here. Now, he could be sitting there and God speaks a word to him and he shares that word. So he just did what? He prophesied. Again, that doesn't mean he's a prophet. All right. So the Bible even tells us to covet prophecy. Covet it. And the reason why he wants us to covet it or long after it, thirst for it, because whenever you're in somebody's pathway, whenever you're communicating with somebody, remember what Father, vision. Thank you, Lord. With our vision, our scripture for this ministry, without a what? What happens? The people perish. What does the word vision mean in that sentence? Direction, revelation. Without direction, without revelation, without knowing what to do, the people will perish. So God's made it so that each one of us could prophesy. So wherever we are, somebody that you may be dealing with, or you may be sitting at the table in a restaurant, and the waitress or waiter, server, comes and serves you, and God gives you a word for them. And when he gives you that word, you said, listen, you don't have to be these, thou, those, and them. You ain't got to quote scripture. And I said, ain't on purpose, okay? You don't have to do that. I would have said beloved. You might say dear, miss, whatever. I would have said beloved because that's me, okay? But I would have said to her, beloved, you know, I just want you to know, first of all, that God loves you. And I want you to know everything's going to be all right. And that might be all I have to say. We don't know how that child was back in the kitchen crying about something, praying about something. And God just told you to tell her it's going to be all right. You just gave her a prophetic word. See, people think the prophetic word has to come in the Lord thy God said it, dun, da, lam, bam, bye, and da-da-da-da-da, and yay and though. And no, it's as simple as you might say, you're going to be all right. And she'll know what that is meaning, what it pertains to. She'll know exactly what that pertains to, amen? So he tells us covet prophecy so that each one of us could say something to somebody that we come across, all right? Amen. The next one is the evangelist, and that is the tall man on your middle finger. The evangelist, they are salesmen. And I want you to think of the different people in this congregation as I tell you these offices. Think of the different people. They are salesmen, influencers, persuaders, networkers, storytellers in the kingdom of God. They make the stories of Jesus remarkable, remarkable, good, and love. They make it famous wherever they go. They are carriers of good news and partner with Jesus in celebrating people's transformation. They stir up curiosity and desires for others to know Jesus. Their life is a living invitation for all to join the family of God. Now, did anyone come in mind thinking of people in this ministry? Did anyone come in mind? Hello. The wife said it immediately. Mark. Elder Mark, Associate Pastor Mark, he's an evangelist. He is a straight up stone evangelist. If you're walking outside and the dog is coming, he'll bark at the dog and invite him to church. Right, baby? You know, whatever moves, he'll do it. The other person that came to mind for me was Minister Brian Boardley. Stone straight up. And see, and once you know this about each other, this is what makes the connection that you will be able to deal with each other better as we're communicating in ministry. You'll get to understand why they're looking more towards that than towards something else, okay? The next one is the pastor. So on your hand, what finger is the pastor? The ring finger. Why do you think it's the ring finger? What goes on that finger? Pardon me? A marriage ring. Is that what you said, Brian? The marriage ring, your wedding band. That's the main ring that goes on that finger. Guess what? The pastor is married to the congregation. The pastor is married to the congregation. The pastors are, this writing is so small. Help me, Jesus. That's all right, beloved. Okay, the pastors are supporters, advisors, administrators, executives, directors, legislators. They are strategic growth developers in the kingdom of God. They're instrumental in guiding people through the thick of things. Okay, to get them back to wholeness and healing their souls from the wounds that they have received. They're immovable. They are agents for growth and development for the believer. They are great, setting atmosphere for family and belonging. They bring, God help me, Jesus, fun and enjoyment to God's ministry, and they allow people to feel like they are part of a greater family. That's, it's not my reading ability. Trust me. You see how small that is? You see how small that is, and I'm trying. Amen. Now, so you heard this is the job of the pastor. Now, remember what I told you, the prophet goes from God to where? Guess what the pastor does? From the people to God. The pastor is the one that's on their face before God for you. The pastor is the one that's kneeling down. The pastor is the one that is asking God, have mercy on them. Lord, you know they didn't mean it. The pastor is full of compassion. They're full of mercy. They definitely bring about a family attitude. And the pastor, the pastor goes to God on behalf of the people, because the people sometimes don't know how to pray for themselves. The people sometimes don't know what to pray. But the pastor knows what to do. Now, let me show you something here. I just said this to this couple. Pastors and prophets. Also, that is a couple that needs to walk together and work together, okay? The prophet, when you look at the prophet and their characteristics when we go through the gifting, the prophet is all black and white. Let me explain. You're either going to do what God said do, or you're not going to do it. I don't want to hear anything in between. There's no excuse. This is what the word says, and this is what you are supposed to do. That's the prophet. The pastor is, but babe, you don't know what they've been through. You don't know what troubles they, I've grown, I saw your face, I'm sorry. You don't know what trouble that they had. You don't know why they make the decision. Just wait a minute and let's talk and see. The pastor and the prophet, they bring balance to each other in the ministry. They bring balance. The prophet also being a seer. Back in the Old Testament, before they were called prophets, they were called seer because God would show them things. And so therefore, the seer, he sees things, he knows what the word of God says, has a very intimate relationship with God, and will come to the pastor and give the pastor directions and instructions that God told them about. So without that vision, without that revelation, you could lose the ministry, you can lose that person. So your pastor and a prophet ought to walk closely together. The last one on the hand is the pinky, and that is the teacher. The teacher, well, this is the smallest one to read. I mean, let's see. The teachers are trainers, researchers. God bless them. Look at that.
Teachers are trainers, researchers, coaches, mentors, instructors, light givers in the kingdom of God. They make the truth, the knowledge about God, accessible to all. They have an ability for breaking confusion and misinformation. They are strategic in helping people know the truth of God and also how it applies to their own life.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Amen. So, see there? Didn't even have to ask. To God be the glory. and that's the way it's supposed to be in the body of Christ. If you see one weak in an area and you can do it, pick up the slack and do it. That's the way we're supposed to operate. I can take my glasses off, I think, now. That's the way we're supposed to operate. And too many times you'll see people in the ministry only concerned about what they have to do and nobody else. We're all in this together. Together with the prophet, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher, all of us make up the hand of God. And when people see us, they ought to see that in us. Amen. 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 Now, somebody volunteer and let me say this. Everybody is not called to walk in one of those offices. Remember I said, you can prophesy, but you're not a prophet. All right. You can teach, but you're not in the office called to be in the office of a teacher, but you can teach. Just the way my grandson came up here and read this for me. He could have sat here and read everything that I read to you. He probably could have expounded on some of the stuff and so forth, but that doesn't mean he's a gifted teacher. He just has the ability to do so. And for the longest time, I would tell myself, first of all, I told you as an apostle, I've had to, and you'll see in the deep studies we do, that an apostle had to walk through all five of those offices. I had to know how to prophesy. I had to know how to evangelize. I had to know how to pastor. I had to know how to teach. I had to know how to lead, go start ministries. I had to know how to do that. I did not call myself an apostle. I did not. In fact, the first time I got ordained in 1994, I got ordained, I was Evangelist Banks. I was the one that would be out there bringing all the people in and so forth and so on. I was an evangelist. That's what I did. And then as time went on, I had to teach. I taught classes, and go into the different ministries we did. So I had to teach. Now, the reason I never thought of me being in the office of a teacher loves to do research, Brian. Excuse me, son. He loves to do research. Let me look this up. Let me do that. Loves to do research. Anything that you put in front of me that I have, I have a desire to know about, self-help things and so forth, you put that in front of me, I'll eat that up and I'll be able to spit it back out. You would have thought that I went to college and got a doctorate in it, okay? Because I like doing that. But I hate the research. And what do I spend most of my time doing, Tabika? Researching. And I hate the research, but somebody else, the young man I just called, he loves doing that. He loves doing it. He is a natural teacher. I learned how. And when I was in school, I wanted to be a teacher, but I only wanted to teach math and science. No. Math and English. God forgive me, I hated science. Math and English, that's all I wanted to teach. And I people get tired of me and my daughters correcting their grammar. That's why when I say ain't, I tell you, I'm saying that on purpose. But that thing used to kill me. Don't you say ain't. ain't in the dictionary. And what did the dictionary do? Go put it in there because too many people kept saying ain't. And now that I said that, let me tell you, saints, that's another trick of the enemy, another trick in the world. Let me tell you. Those things that are wrong, and that you're not supposed to do, if enough of the people do it, making it almost the majority of the people do it, they will go about and make it a law that you can do it. And it comes against the word of God. It totally comes against. Remember the day when smoking reefer was illegal? Now, everybody can smoke it. You can sell it. Everybody go open up a dispensary. Go open it. Why? Because there were so many people doing it that they didn't have no more place to put them in jail. They said, well, we may as well let them go out here and make money and do what they want. Things that are wrong, they make right. So, but it's right in the eyes of the law, but is it right in the eyes of God? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So even though ain't is in the dictionary, doesn't mean that you should walk around here saying ain't all the time. They just accommodated you. That's all. Amen, amen, amen. All right, so now I've given you the fivefold ministry. Can somebody tell me where they see themselves fitting in that? Come, you got the mic, okay.
I have a mic. I see myself fitting in as pastor. I've pastored for 16 years, but what I realized as a pastor, I could not do it all by myself. And so I had to have some evangelists, I had to have some teachers, I had to have some prophets. I had everybody working with me in order to accomplish what God has called me to do. Teacher, I love teaching. I love the research. I'm often shy away from it because I often feel that I'm not qualified and I don't have that gift. But then when I get into it, I enjoy it. Evangelist, I don't see myself as an evangelist, but every time I go into a grocery store or I walk in a parking lot somewhere, I run into somebody and we start talking about God. So I guess I have a little bit of evangelist in me also. Apostle, no, you can do that. Prophet, yes, I have some of that in me. So I see myself working in all those gifts, serving in all those areas. But where I am weak, I invite others to help.
Amen. Amen. Very good. Very good. Anybody else? Yes.
And Dr. Patterson was talking about this. And I was really concerned. You know, I come from a traditional church. And here we do the fivefold ministry, but in the traditional mainline churches, they don't do the fivefold ministry. So when I came to New Vision, a non-denominational church, I struggled with that. And not understanding it because they didn't even teach that in the traditional church. And also speaking in tongues, that was something else. I had the gift, didn't realize I had the gift because that's not something that they practice in the traditional church. My question to you, it doesn't make that ministry any weaker. And I'm using weaker because I don't know another right. word to use. But how do you see that in the traditional church and the working in a traditional church and a non-traditional?
I'm glad you asked that question. Get your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter, 4, verses 11 through 6. 11 through 16. 11 through 16. 6 to 11. And what did I say? Ephesians. Okay. No, wait a minute. I got to put my glasses back on. Okay, let me see. It's 11. Start at 11, like I said. Let's go ahead and read from start at verse 6. Start at verse 4. Start at verse 4. Somebody read for me. Brother Carl, go ahead. We got to give you a mic.
And this is the word of the Lord. There is one body, one spirit, even as ye are called in the hope of your calling. You want me to continue?
Yes, keep going.
Our Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he says, when he has ascended up on high, and he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men, now that he ascended, What is it? But he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descendeth is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things.
Okay, stop right there for a moment. All righty. One God, one Lord, one Spirit, one body. That's the way it's supposed to be. Okay? That's part of that answer. That is part of it. Now, give me another reader for 11. Okay, Marisha said she would read. Thank you. Still in that same chapter, chapter 4, start at verse 11. Now, remember in, wait a minute, which verse it said that he gave gifts, that Christ gave gifts. Understand that. Christ gave these gifts. Now, start at 11. Not, Mike is not on.
It's not. It's on. Thank you.
Yeah, that's it. Go ahead, hon.
Okay. Jesus, help us. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers.
Okay, stop right there for a moment. He gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. That's your fivefold ministry. Why did he give that? Next sentence. Why did he give that?
For the perfecting of the saints.
There's one.
Mm-hmm. For the work of the ministry.
There's two.
And for the edifying of the body of Christ.
There's three. Okay. And when are you not to have those people around? Go to the next verse.
Till we all come in the unity of the faith,
mm-hmm,
and of the knowledge of the Son of God,
mm-hmm,
unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ,
mm-hmm,
that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ.
Verse 16.
From whom the whole body fitly joined together, mm-hmm, and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love.
Amen. That's Amen. It. Amen. Amen. Now, God, Jesus gave those fivefold, those offices, he gave them position in the body of Christ to equip them, to edify them, to do this, that, and the other. Every church, and this is where you'll find the discrepancy, every church ought to have a fivefold ministry. Every church should have a fivefold ministry. And we know there are churches that do not believe in the apostles and the prophets anymore. They say they're dead and gone. That once Jesus came and died and rose again and ascended unto heaven, that the work was finished. And they said, we no longer needed prophets and you no longer needed the apostles. And your non-denominational churches, of course, we know that until he comes back the second time, everything that he put them in the body to do, they still are supposed to be doing it. Okay? It didn't end at his ascension. It didn't end there. So they are still supposed to be in the church. And the churches that don't acknowledge those people, they are not walking in the fullness of what it is that God would have for the people. Fullness. It's not to say people won't get saved, healed, and delivered. It can happen. And why does it happen? It's because of the grace and the mercy of God. He doesn't want them to die in their sin and all because somebody doesn't believe in prophets and apostles. He doesn't want them to die. So he gracefully gives. Somebody could be committing adultery and so forth and be the pastor of the church and praying. And he's coming in here after getting up out of the bed, some other woman's bed, comes in here, gets in the pulpit, preaches a hot sermon. People get healed. People come to the altar. People get delivered and so forth and so on. And after that, he walks out of the pulpit and goes on back doing his thing. But God cared about the people that came. He cared about the people that came to the altar. He didn't stop saving them or healing them or delivering them because this man is out or woman is out of whack. No, that's God's grace. That's his mercy. Son, did you have your mic for something?
Yes, just a question. So wouldn't that be that there's then a contradiction to say that we don't need the apostle or that we don't believe in the apostle? I'm not saying us. I'm just saying certain churches believe that because if we study the word, Apostles' Creed and all of the things that tell us, those say that the canon was based on the apostolic writings, but those apostles came after Christ. They were named as apostles after Christ's ascension.
That's right.
So if they were named after the ascension and they were still apostles, then there would be a contradiction to say that we don't need apostles.
Absolutely.
It's interesting that you said that it's a contradiction. And yet in the traditional church, they are quick to read the Apostles' Creed
quoted every week.
Every single Sunday.
On words, what parts of the Bible are considered canon? They had to be written by the apostles. So for the words to be considered canon and biblically sound and give us foundation, they had to be written by the apostles as far as the New Testament. If that's so, then you're saying everything in the New Testament wasn't written by apostles if there's no need for apostles after the ascension of Christ.
Amen. Amen. All righty. Okay. Today, with this being the first Sunday also, we will be doing communion today. So we're going to bring our discussion to an end for today. I thank y'all for participating. Oh, yes, sir. I'm sorry. You had a question.
I know there's somewhere in the scripture where it says, in regards to your teaching this morning, where it says many are called, but few are chosen.
Mm-hmm.
What scripture is that?
I would have to look it up to give you the exact scripture, but let me tell you what that means, sir. Let me tell you what that means. All of the Bibles that are written, they have their own translations and so forth and so on. In the original writing of that particular scripture, it says many are called, but few choose. Now listen to that. Many are called, but few choose to accept the calling that they have on their life. And during the writing, it's now put in there, many are called, but few are chosen. Now, if God called you, how contradictory would it be for him not to choose you? He called you for something. So he would have chosen you. But then that's the way the scripture is written in King James, I think, and the rest of them. But you go back to the Greek or the Hebrew, it says, many are called, but few choose. So in other words, Brother Carl, you were called with purpose in mind. It's left up to you to choose to walk in that calling or not. And that would be what people say now today, many are called, but few are chosen. And the thing is that few chose. Few of us chose to take what the calling was. Few of us chose not to. That's what that means. My scholars here, please. There you go. Matthew what? 22:14. All right. And that's good to know. All righty. Okay. So at this point in time, let me, in bringing this to a close, I want to do an altar call first. Want to do an altar call. If there's anyone in here, okay, yes, sir. And do you need help? Because it is down steps. You good? Okay, all righty. Please do. Please do. Okay. If there's anyone in here who doesn't know the God that we just talked about, the one that gave us the gifts, the ones that called us to the offices, the one that is not sure about their standing in heavenly places with the Father. You're not sure about where your soul is going to go when the time comes. If there's anyone here who has not accepted Jesus as their Savior and would like to do so, today is the day that you may do so. Today is the day. If anyone's in here that would like to rededicate their lives to the Lord, today is the day that you can do so. Is there anyone? Is there one?